In the news today, reproductive health and economics. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. President Trump's administration could propose a new rule today that would bar abortions at facilities that receive federal family planning funds. One proposal reportedly on the way today, an order requiring abortion services to be in a physically separate location from other health services if a clinic wants to continue receiving federal family planning dollars. Marketplace's Erica Barris is following this.
Laws already prevent federal dollars from directly funding abortions. Still, groups like Planned Parenthood accept that money to provide other healthcare services, like screenings and checkups. So separating abortion services from other healthcare services could mean acquiring new facility and staff, which would require a lot of time and money. Planned Parenthood put out a statement calling the proposal dangerous.
Now, when we talk about these funds, how are they typically distributed?
About 4,000 clinics get federal family planning grants. During the last fiscal year, Congress appropriated $286.5 million in these kind of grants. This rule would leave organizations with a choice: separate themselves from abortion services or fund themselves with private dollars.
But at a clinic, how does it play out?
On one side, these clinics tend to serve low-income patients. For a lot of people, this is their primary preventative care. And this could create a kind of tiered system of reproductive health care. So if a patient has private insurance, there are all kinds of services available to them. But if they rely on clinics that take federal funding, these services wouldn't be available.
Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you. The benchmark U.S. interest rate eased back a bit this morning. The 10-year yield is down below 3.09%, but being above 3% at all remains a story. Let's welcome back to the program Julian Emanuel, Chief Equity and Derivatives Strategist at the investment firm BTIG. Are these rates alarming, Julian?
It isn't really that alarming because, quite honestly, we've seen it coming for a number of months. You know, whether you're thinking about it in terms of consensus expectations or the actual path of rates themselves, as long as the process continues in a sort of steady and slow pace, as it has been, we're totally fine with that. There is a very silver lining in 10-year yields moving through 3%.
Well, what's the silver lining that you say?
The silver lining is that higher yields in the long end actually take the pressure off the Fed to hike in the short end as aggressively as the market expects at the moment. The more flexibility the Fed has to respond to the way incoming data changes, the better the potential course for asset prices. That really is part of the path that will be able to buoy the economy and eventually lead to higher stock prices in the second half of the year.
Julian Emanuel is Chief Equity and Derivative Strategist at the investment firm BTIG. Mr. Emanuel, thank you.
Thanks very much.
I have three children who all made it through college in recent years, and I'm reminded of something during this college graduation season. Once the diploma's in hand, that's when the questions about the real life of money start coming in earnest. So maybe as a graduation gift, more books. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell and I have a quick list of money books new grads might find helpful. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, David.
What's your first personal finance book you might share?
Burton Malkiel's A Random Walk Guide to Investing. And I know you like this one, David.
I love that one, but I remember the original, Random Walk Down Wall Street, which recommends you can't beat the market by picking stocks and maybe you're better off in index funds. It's a big, heavy book.
It is. And this is just short. It's simple. It's got 10 guideposts to manage your money well over a lifetime. So I would recommend it. I think that holds people up in good stead, but it distills that essence of The Random Walk Down Wall Street, as you say, a much longer book.
All right. Might give Beth Kobliner's Get a Financial Life. It's been around for years. She's reworked it about a year ago. There's that one.
Yes. And how about this one? Index Card: Why Personal Finance Doesn't Have to Be Complicated. It's by a University of Chicago social scientist, Harold Pollack. And in an interview, he said, all you need to know about finance, you could write down on an index card. Well, this is the internet age, so he was challenged to make good on his boast. He did it. And of course, it became an internet sensation, so they turned it into a book.
What's on the card? Stuff like, start saving now because compound interest is a miracle?
Pretty much along those lines. Save 20%. Index funds. Keep it simple.
All right. I see you have on the list Bogle's book. You know John Bogle, the venerable founder of the Vanguard Group.
I love John Bogle. I mean, he has done so much for the individual investor. So you could just pick one of his books. How about The Little Book of Common Sense Investing? And it is lots of common sense for the individual, not to line the pockets of Wall Street.
So for the graduating liberal arts person or artist, I have a slightly unusual one here. It's not personal finance per se. You know Elizabeth Gilbert, the Eat, Pray, Love author, she has a book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's how to live the life successfully of a creative person. And there are some practical lessons in there that some people might find useful.
I love that because in the end, all personal finance is about supporting the goals that you want to achieve in life.
All right. So when you're driving home from graduation, you can whip out this other pile of books and foist it upon your new graduate. Chris Farrell, the senior economics contributor to Marketplace. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
That list of books is also at marketplace.org. After the money questions, once they find work, come the HR type questions. Dad, what's the difference between a flex account and an HSA? What's better, the crazy high deductible health insurance plan or the lower deductible that's more per month? I'll write that book someday. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.